Here we go.
This is Felger and Mass.
Yeah, Rex Ryan here.
I hate guests.
Yep.
There's no reason to touch them.
Keep it in your pants.
Why would you do that?
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Any reaction to what's going on down in Florida?
No. That's a joke. Of course, I'm joking. Look, I'll tell you, the more I read about the Josh McDaniels thing, the deeper we get into this Patriots offseason, I am more and more convinced that Bill Belichick is out of here relatively soon. When the whole thing went down, my personal opinion was that they basically agreed to go another year and that would be it. Bill would then move on and that would be the end of it. And after sort of reading the McDaniels story and everything else, I feel stronger about it than ever before. There was a comment in there specifically from McDaniels about his family and how his family was willing to move, and it wasn't because of family considerations that he stayed. It was because his role with the Patriots was quote-unquote clarified or became clearer. And again, I don't have the story directly in front of me. What was unclear about his role before? What was unclear?
Who was the next head coach?
Josh, you're the offensive coordinator. His role was clear. His future was unclear. His future was unclear. And so I look at that and say, they gave him some sort of assurance there that Bill was leaving in the shorter term versus the longer term, and he's going to be the guy. And I think that this is a changing of the guard season. That's what I feel like this is. And if Belichick is back next year, specifically at this point, if he's prepping for the draft and he's at the meetings and everything else, and still at this point next year, I'll be surprised.
I still lead, and I'm with you. I lead with the Josh McDaniels stuff. And to me, it is still the giveaway of things aren't great and it's coming to an end. Like, I know that sounds, that's an ESPN headline for you. And it's not coming to an end in the next month. I think, they all got another year to go. A year. I mean, I give Belichick a year. But the McDaniels stuff, to me, is the capper of it. He's set to get on the plane and go to Indy and take that job, and then he just comes back like that. And for the first time he explained it, Jim McBride in the Boston Globe with the exclusive, he told Jim McBride, "I wasn't 100% sure what the future was. I just hadn't had any clarity on that. So where did I fit in? Were there any plans? I just don't have much clarity. I didn't have much clarity on what my role was here moving forward. Once I heard from Robert and Bill on that Tuesday, it just gave me reason to pause and consider this whole situation." So look, it's obvious why they can't say he's the coach in waiting, right? Because that makes a whole mess for Bill in the short term and creates that whole sort of, he's the next guy. Bill, when's your last year? When's your last year? When's your last year? That creates that whole thing that Bill hates and they hate and they don't want any part of it. And, but there's a whole nother reason that I don't think we spent enough time on. That's a very practical league reason. That's the Rooney Rule. You have to interview minority candidates for your job before you hire a coach. You can't name your next coach, you can't hire a coach until you interview a minority. Oakland sort of ran into trouble with this just recently with Gruden. So the Patriots, even if they want to invite that distraction, which they don't, by league rule, they're setting themselves up to get fined or something if they just hire Josh. So they can't. They have to go through that whole charade of hiring interviewing other candidates. So there's that whole piece as well. But McDaniels coming back in the fashion that he came back, to me, is really just the capper. And we can read into all the stuff with Belichick in the offseason. I think people have done it. He's really active in these pro days. And today he had a couple of comments about the cap down the road. And you can sort of read it and say, oh, Bill's in it for the long term, Bill's in it for the long term. I don't think so. Because if he's in it for the long term, Josh isn't coming back in the fashion he's come back. And he's not saying the things that he said.
Do you think there's any shot, and now I'm just sort of throwing crap against the wall, but do you think there's any chance that Josh is actually going to coach the team in 2018 and Bill's commitment is just through the draft?
No. I don't. Do you?
No. I mean, I told you, I'm just throwing crap against the wall. I just wonder if part of the deal was, hey, look, as the head coach, you were doing a lot of prep on a lot of these guys long before McDaniels was, so you are more prepared for the draft, and you'll help us through here, and then Josh will take over the team and coach it in the season. Like, I doubt it. I'm just wondering, because I also think that Brady factors into this story in a significant way, and that if Josh is going to be the head coach of the Patriots, he probably wanted some assurance that Tom Brady was going to be the quarterback for a year or two, so he didn't just come in with a new guy and fall flat on his freaking face after they traded Garoppolo. Like, I know if I were McDaniels, I told you, I'd sort of heard whispers last year that neither McDaniels nor Patricia wanted to succeed Belichick because they know that that is just impossible.
Do you still believe that?
Because McDaniels clearly is willing to do it, I think. At least that's what it looks like. And I wonder if Brady is part of that. That McDaniels said, you can convince me, but I got to have Tom. Tom wants McDaniels. McDaniels wants Tom. Fine, I'll succeed Belichick, but you can't send me out there with, you know, with as a coach by myself, effectively, no Bill and no quarterback. I'm not doing that. So I wonder. I wonder if, you know, Brady's future is somehow connected to McDaniels now.
Oh, and I think there's a factor there is too. I mean, and I think others have mentioned that it's not just the future tied to McDaniels. It's Brady's comfort level. Who called McDaniels a buffer?
Gasper, I believe it was.
Was it Gasper who said, you know,
it was either him or Bedard, one of those two.
Used the word buffer with Josh McDaniels. Well, buffer from what?
Bill.
I mean, right? So, like, I think that ties into the whole thing as well. And it ties into how it sort of ended. I mean, if Brady's feeling all squirrely after the year, and he says to Robert, you know, don't stick me with this a-hole again, you know, and it's, you know, it's just sort of part and parcel how they bring back McDaniels when they really weren't planning to, or sort of a last-ditch thing, or, you know, I just think Josh and the way that went down is kind of a smoking gun of all the stuff that's gone on down there,
I'm just glad someone found him. We hadn't seen him at the Combine. We hadn't seen him at any pro days. So kudos to Jim McBride for actually finding Josh McDaniels, who's been just absent from just about every NFL-related thing since the Super Bowl. But I think it's pretty easy to translate. You read this. Yeah, he's going to be the next head coach of this team.
Jimmy, you got some Bill sound from today ready to go? It was good to see that Bill, in some ways, returned to Dinkus mode.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad he wasn't total suck-up, because I feel he's doing some sucking up here in the last couple of weeks with the NFL Network stuff a couple weeks ago and the local guys on Sunday. So Bill does his annual coach's breakfast today that he's required to show up to, but still blows off half the time, it feels like. But he showed up 25 minutes late today.
Yep.
Showed up 25 minutes late.
And then wouldn't sit at the table.
And then didn't sit at the table. Sort of like brought people off to the corner. And so it's good to see. I'm actually getting a little heartened to see that a little of the Dinkus mode returned to Bill. Because I would hate to think that he just totally started brown-nosing everybody.
He's equalizing. He's getting back to normal.
So, Jimmy, play the one with the Brady question. So, immediately, the Brady question started. I think Bedard's actually asking the question, and here's a little exchange.
Bill, Tom has 2 years left on his contract. Have there been any extension talks, and do you necessarily need to do that where you guys are as far as the cap?
Yeah, you know I'm not going to talk about contracts and personal situations, so we'll just let that one go. Along with all the other contract questions.
4 years ago, when you guys drafted Jimmy, you said we all know Tom Brady's age. Tom Brady's now 4 years older, and obviously no young quarterback behind him. Do you feel that finding another quarterback in the draft is imperative this year?
I think we'll always try to do what's best for the team, whatever those opportunities are, do the best we can with them.
So have you had a chance to talk to Tom this offseason since the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I covered that the other day.
I'm sorry, I'm not local. I didn't. Can you
sure. It's on every internet site you'd want to find. I'm sure we can pull it up for you.
Okay, so it was good to see the Dink return to Bill Belichick a little bit today.
Well, yeah, no. I took care of the local guys the other day. The rest of you clowns can go read it. Why don't you Google it, you Dink?
It's
like that's totally what the answer was.
It's on every internet site out there. So, you know, part of the thing the other day was to take care of the local guys, but also so he's able to say that today. I addressed this the other day.
Right, so good point. He's dealing with the people that, you know, he's around more, who understand him a little bit better than maybe some other people who don't. So he can give the answers and then just blow off the other dinks.
Bozos. But I also like that first part. It's like, we're going to let all the other, we'll let that one go along with the contract questions. Like, he gets to dictate what questions are asked. I mean, this is Bobby Knight in Bloomington, Indiana. I mean, this is what you get when you're Bill Belichick. You get to dictate and, you know, we all just sort of have to follow along. He gets to dictate what questions get asked to him. There was an exchange about, so he did suck up. Was it Jeff Howe asked a question about the salary cap and whatnot? And this was sort of, this gave people a little thought that, oh, Bill's not done. Go ahead.
When you're managing the cap, I mean, I know it happens every year. You know, you look ahead to, you know, next year when Trey and Shaq will be up. How far ahead can you conceivably sort of map out that plan? Is it as long as guys are under contract through 2021? Is it this year or next year? I mean, how do you kind of balance all that?
That's actually a good question. It's a great question.
I asked like 10, so one of them had to be a good one.
Yeah, well, no, it's a good one. It's a hard one. You have to be concerned with this year, obviously, but in my position, you have to see a little more than that as well. And we're going to have a team next year. We're going to have a team the year after that. So you kind of look at as many factors as you can with this year taking the priority, but it can't be absolute. You know, you have to have a balance in future years. And money's an issue. The positions are an issue. The age of your team, all those things you take into consideration. And you do the best you can. Sometimes you can work out arrangements with players. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes those are shorter, sometimes they're longer. So, I mean, not a straight answer to the question. Just it's always an ongoing. It's an ongoing process that you're constantly addressing. And as opportunities come up, you see how they fit in. Do the best you can.
Is that, not to get too far down the rabbit hole here, but is that a situation where you know, looking at right now, just hypothetically, do I want to sign this guy or do I want to create the opportunity where maybe that space will roll into next year when it would be better served?
Yeah, absolutely. When you make a commitment, you make a commitment. And so that's, you live with that commitment. Sometimes you move out of commitment earlier than you expect to. Sometimes the commitment lasts longer than you think it will. So that can be a fluid situation as well. Sometimes you think, you know, a player's going to be here for X amount of years, and it's X plus Y.
All right, so you got it there. It was really the first part of the answer where he talks about we're going to have a football team next year and the year after that. Some people read in, well, he's planning for the next year. He's planning for 2 or 3 years down the road, which is fine to read into.
I don't.
But how do you then put that next to the Josh thing and say, well, he came back at a moment's notice because they clarified his situation? What could that clarity possibly be? And if they said, you're the next coach, but it's going to take 5 years, you think he's coming back?
Yeah, no. I mean, to me, Belichick's answer was generic. And so, you know, you do that every year, and then he goes into this drone, and, you know, your head's ready to spin off and fly into space, for crying out loud. But I do think, like, to me, in that league, not to get into that part of it, but I don't think you can do it more than 2 or 3 max. Like, I don't think you can do 5 years down the road in the NFL. And whether he's staying or he's going, you think Kraft is going to let him just load everything up into his final year and leave Josh there with his with his Hogan in his back pocket?
No,
like,
no.
Like, no shot. You get no chance. Like, Kraft would never, ever allow that.
Okay, developing Patriots opinions with you at 617-779-0985 right after this.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger and Mez.
They're more scared of you than you are of them.
98.5. The Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Have you had that collective meeting with Coach Belichick and Tom that you talked about?
Yes, we met, and I meet individually with each of them. But the thing that I don't know if it's completely understood, that Bill and Tom communicate and meet a lot.
Bill, Tom has 2 years left on his contract. Have there been any extension talks?
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to talk about contracts and personal situations. So we'll just let that one go, along with all the other contract questions.
Jim Murray puts that together. The contract is still another tell, right? Brady hasn't done his contract.
I mean, that's a big one, if you ask me. That is a big one. Because if, you know, if they were going to be making sort of significant moves in the short term, they need the quarterback's cooperation like they always have. And they haven't done it.
Yeah, so to me, I feel the same way as yesterday. And that is, they may have talked, and certainly Kraft and Belichick are on the same page right here as they present at the owners' meetings. But I don't know if they've really resolved anything behind the scenes. That's sort of how I feel about it. And there's a couple tells, and one is, the big one maybe, is Brady's contract.
I mean, they've been together a long time, this whole group. That's a long time for that to last, specifically the coach and the quarterback. And, like, at some point, you just wake up and you say, I'm sick of you. Like, that's it. It's over. We're done. You know, we'll finish this thing out. You know, we're professionals, we'll work it out, but at the end of the day, they just go their own separate ways. It's going to happen sooner or later, and maybe they're there.
So, you know, again, as Bedard wrote today in Boston Sports Journal, he said it would be quite simple for Kraft and or Belichick to signal that everyone was on the same page after a trying season. That hasn't happened. He says Belichick, Kraft, Brady. Some answers from all three, but nothing definitive. Is that worrisome? Maybe, maybe not, depending on how much you want to read between the lines. Unfortunately, we all just have to stay tuned. So they've all talked. They've said they've talked. They've answered questions. But is there? But at any point did they say, like Kraft said, we met, but did Kraft say we've settled our differences or the tension that exists or the you know, like did he say anything that there was a anything point to?
Was the meeting fruitful?
You know, resolution or results of the meeting, right? Have we heard that? No. So I think it's a fair point by Greg. All right, back to your thoughts on the Patriots, developing opinions as we continue to talk to Patriots personnel or hear from them in Orlando. Two open lines, if you want them, 617-779-0985. Let's grab Tim on Cape Cod. Hi, Tim.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
I think this is so simple, and I haven't heard much talk about it, but wouldn't Belichick just go upstairs, become the president or the GM, and Josh takes over? He's not going to walk away from football, and he's got two kids and the program that he wants to see through. You know, I think it's just a no-brainer. That's what's going
to
happen.
So I've answered this a million times. My opinion is that he's not an executive. He's not going to put on a suit and go up to the office. And I always mention Vince Lombardi, who did the same thing, and he drove himself nuts. He couldn't take it. He lasted a year before he was back on the sidelines. Bill was born with a whistle around his neck. All these, I've said these things a million times. I just don't. I mean, I could be wrong. It makes perfect sense from the outside. He goes, still runs the football team. He's still the man in charge. His kids are still on the staff. I just don't see him as an executive. I don't.
I just don't think it fits his personality in any way. Like, first of all, he likes the coaching part of it, right? Clearly. And then beyond that, he's going to, like, pick players and then let someone else coach him? No chance. He'll go bananas. If he signs a guy and says, well, this guy can do this, and then McDaniels doesn't coach him up or they don't see him, you know, they're not using a guy the right way, you think he's going to tolerate that?
I don't think it works. That's right.
No shot. It's just, he's too much of a control freak. And I don't say that as a criticism. I say that's his nature. You know, he can look at a player, say, this is what I'm going to do with him, and then execute it. And there's no gray area there. There's no one to blame. It's him. He picked him. He coached him. You're going to then turn over some of that to someone else?
So, I mean, I think it's one and done. I think this is what we're looking at.
It feels that way.
How does it? So let me ask you. 1 year left of Belichick, then it's McDaniels. How confident are you in that progression here as a Patriots fan?
I'm not. I told you I'm not as big on McDaniels as anybody else. And Kraft had that comment yesterday, you know, that I sort of stuck in the back of my head of, you know, I think he's the best offensive coordinator in the league. How do you know? He had Tom Brady as his quarterback, for crying out loud. Like, anybody who has Tom Brady is going to be a good offensive coordinator. Like, to me, there's no way to know. Now, look, do I think McDaniels is good? Sure. Yes. Do I think he's great? No, I don't. I think he's overrated. And so I look at the whole thing, and I don't feel great about it going forward. I'd like to know who the next quarterback is. I'd like to have more faith in the next coach. Like, all of that. But I just think it... That's a rare thing to have that kind of transition.
So I like him as the next coach. I love the continuity. The playbook will stay the same. The system will stay the same. So much will stay the same. And especially if Brady's going to play a second, third year, which he has to, Giselle, then I just think that whole cohesion's a great thing. It's like you're bringing in another coach. So, like, I mean, he might even be my, Josh might even be my first choice. He might be. Even more than a guy like Jim Harbaugh. Or I don't know who else you want to throw at me. Like, I just... You know, I think there's a good chance the ball just keeps rolling with that. So I'm fine with that, but I wonder how fans feel. I wonder how fans feel. And does it cement that it's a year to go with Belichick? It's the last year of Belichick. That's it. I mean, that's what I think. That's what I think. And why else would Josh return?
Look, it's March 27th, right? The draft's coming up again. You're officially into 2018 now in the NFL. If Belichick is here at this time next year, I'll be shocked. Surprised. Shocked is too strong. Surprised.
Scott in Millville. Hi, Scott.
Hey, what's up, guys? I know a lot of talk has been around Josh McDaniels and everything about the meeting with Bob Kraft and Belichick. But what about Nick Caserio? I haven't heard anything about him. I know that a lot of people have been pairing Caserio and McDaniels, you know, Caserio being the GM and McDaniels being the head coach. Have you guys heard anything about any meetings with Caserio or anything? Thanks a lot, guys. Love okay. the show. Thanks.
Well, Jimmy Stewart's take is that Nick Caserio is the next head coach. You still on that, Stu?
Yep.
So that's not a bad one. I mean, who the hell knows?
Sits in the booth with Ernie Adams all the time, is out at these camps with Bill Belichick specifically. Like, makes a lot of sense. He's actively coaching as well as being the director of player personnel.
So here's the problem with that theory. It's not bad, except is Josh, you know, turning around and walking off the steps of the plane to go to Indianapolis to come back and be Nick Caserio's offensive coordinator?
No. I do think, though, that it would not surprise me in the least bit if McDaniels and Caserio are a package deal.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Right? Like, you know, you do this, I'll do that, because we like each other, we work together, we think the same way.
I think the whole thing with McDaniels, why he didn't take the San Francisco job the year before, is that he wanted to bring Nick with him, and San Fran had their eyes on Lynch.
Lynch.
I think, now, someone else said that, Breer or Bedard, someone. But, so, yeah, I think they definitely are a package. I mean, that's it. McDaniels, Caserio going forward. How do you feel about it?
Not great.
What would make you feel great?
Nothing. That, I mean, other than Harbaugh. Like, and I say Harbaugh because, look, the guy's a nut. Okay, he's a nut.
He would change everything. You understand that?
Yes, I do, but it works. I don't care if he changes the system. As long as his system works is all I care about. And so nobody's going to do it the same way Bill did it. Like, to me, that's out. So I just want someone that I know can do the job. And the only problem with Harbaugh is that it's going to last like 3 or 4 years, then he's out.
Oh, yeah. You've got to have the next guy ready to go.
Right? But I don't. Is it going to last longer than that with McDaniels?
Well, it won't be for the same reasons. It'll be because Josh isn't cut out for the job.
Exactly.
The Harbaugh thing is he's just...
Oh, yeah. No. He'll give everybody the finger in 3 days.
you hate him after a couple of years.
Absolutely.
He just puts the throttle down too hard.
So, there's almost like a Parcells element to him in that way, right? Parcells is your classic... You know, I say one night stand, 3 years out, done. That's it. You can't tolerate him anymore. It's over. But the 3 years are going to be pretty good. And I would do that with Harbaugh. I would.
Okay.
I would one night stand with Jim Harbaugh. Wham, bam. Thank you, ma'am.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger. I like Andy Kupatukabu.
And Mass.
Stupid. They're so stupid.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Pete in Delaware. Hey, Pete, what do you got?
Hey, guys. Hey, question for you regarding McDaniels. It's a little bit like the Bill Parcells Belichick thing. So I don't think Bill would want to do to Josh what was done to him. So I kind of agreed with you guys that this is a one-year thing. So my question for you guys, too, is now that you got all this complication with Brady kind of teasing whether he's going to play a couple more years and not redoing the contract, do you think if there's a quarterback in the second round that they actually would pull the trigger? And how would that affect Tom? I think there's a lot of complications still left with this.
So, Zoe said today he thinks that's what they're doing. That if they like a guy in the second, that's when they're going to do it. They're going to do it again. It's going to reboot the Jimmy Garoppolo experience. Do you get the same effect out of Brady this time around that you did the last time around?
No.
Ship has sailed. That was the time to do it. That's when, I guess, Brady was he 36 when they drafted Garoppolo?
Sounds right.
That's just the age when other quarterbacks... You know, started to go down, and, you know, Elway was 38, Marino was 37, and I'm just making these numbers up, but Montana was 36. They were all, like, in their late 30s, right? And so Brady wanted to prove that point and burst through that, and he sure did. Now even Brady is talking about the end. So it's like, if you're Brady, you say, yeah, I got to draft the next guy. I'm not going to be here in 3 years anyway.
Exactly, yeah. He's so close to the end that it doesn't matter. Like, it just, and the other thing is the guy's, you know, because he's just not going to be ready in time. So, no, it does not have the same impact. I don't think it has close to the same impact. Brady won. He won. He won that battle.
Literally and figuratively. You know, don't forget the two titles he's won since, too. Because at that point, when he was drafted, it's like, okay, they kept going deep in the playoffs, but they kept getting skunked. Could Brady win another one? Well, he's since won two. What else really is there to prove?
See, someday, and I don't think he's anywhere near it yet, someday he'll thank Belichick for it. Someday.
No question.
He will look back on it and say, you know what? The Garoppolo thing was a good thing for me.
Got the most out of me.
Yep. He will look back. But right now, I mean, he was more intent. He was so pissed off by it, it made him better.
But again, on this, every time I read this, Giselle Bundchen did a cover story in Wall Street Journal magazine that Jimmy linked to us. And one of her quotes in the story is, she was asked, I haven't read it, but this is just a quote. She was asked apparently about her talking about Brady's concussions before and Brady's health before. And she said, quote, I'm entitled to have my concerns because my husband is the father of my children. If you don't have your health, what do you have? And she's so right. Couldn't agree more. Nothing's more important than your health. Absolutely. If you don't have your health, what do you have? Abso-positively-lutely. No question. But I don't want to hear it, G. I don't want to hear it. If I'm the Patriots, I don't want to hear it. If I'm Belichick, this goes right up Mike Easter. It's like, if you're worried about your health, great. You should. So retire and keep your health and let the kid play. We got the next guy ready to go. If you're worried about your health, then retire. No problem. Then it all works. If you're going to play, you can't worry about your health and headshots, because then you're in the wrong business. So if Brady's going to come back, like, this has just got to be a little bit of a concern. And I'm not telling you it's going to happen, but all of a sudden it's family time, and all of a sudden it's the balance between life and work, and all of a sudden it's about concerns about your health and your future health. Like, no, 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 no. Nope. You've got to approach this like you're 32, not 42. Otherwise, we should have kept the kid. And so I don't want to hear this.
Oh, he would totally screw him if he did that. And you know what? I wonder if on some level, like, wouldn't you love to be in Belichick's head on that one? Like, if Belichick's looking at it going, you guys blew it and you don't even know it. You already blew it. It's over. You had the chance. You had it set up. I was willing to coach the other guy. It was all there. Like, I would love to know whether Belichick really looks at it and says, listen, I'm going to play it out. Don't get me wrong. But you guys blew it. You had him.
Is it Nader in Quincy?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right. Just to answer that thing you guys are saying about how you guys think Belichick is probably his last year. He's probably year to year. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the NFL Network's Big Football Life.
Yes, Nader. You guys speak into your phone, please.
Yeah. Anyways, the one that he put on, I think in 2009.
I can't do it.
I can see that one coming.
He talked into it for a good 2 seconds.
You obviously could do it. You obviously have a little thing there that you could put to your mouth and speak into it. Why don't you just keep doing it?
I don't get people like that. Like, what do you think it sounds like? It sounds like you're muffling through your freaking socks, for crying out loud. Go ahead, Murray. Do it. Do it, Murray.
The Football Life and Football Checks in 2009, because I think there's a correlation with some of the things that he was saying in that particular
Jim, speaking to the mic.
I don't know if you guys saw The Football Life from 2009, but I think there is a direct correlation. Oh, hold on.
What Belichick was saying then to how he's acting now.
So cell phones, except for to call Felger and Maz, and put the phone to your mouth, put it to your mouth. Speak like, you know, if you're watching, speak like this, put it to your mouth. Don't worry about listening, just talk to it. But other than that, other than calling Felger and Maz, cell phones were not meant to talk on. They're meant to text on. Here's John in Swampscott. Go ahead, John. What do you got?
I just wanted to bring up a point. Maybe you guys talked about it already, but the Patriots season ticket holders, their bill to pay for the season tickets is due the end of this week. Do you think there's any correlation? Maybe they're just trying to drift along here until after this date goes by before a big announcement comes out like Brady's going to retire or Belichick's going to step down.
Oh, that's a great one. That's John. Thank you for just bringing that up. I mean, I was going to say the whole thing about breaking news or timing out a signing for season tickets. That's relevant for the Bruins. It's relevant for the Red Sox.
You beat me to this. Go ahead.
Right? Like, so those teams need to do it because they've got to acquire and maintain a season ticket base. What's the Patriots waiting list?
Oh, gosh, it's got to be like 10, 15, 20 years.
Yeah, it's like 20 years.
Whatever it is.
Well, I don't know if it's years or number. I thought it was like 50.
It's gigantic, whatever it is.
I thought the stadium was sold out twice, you know, like that. Green Bay is like, it's a 30-year. They put a year total on it for some reason. In Foxborough, I don't know what it is, but it's massive.
Oh, yeah, no, there's no risk of them not selling the tickets.
So, right. So I the point is they don't have to have any reveals or any signings to time out with season tickets because they could lose all their season tickets and still fill the stadium.
Belichick would be a big one, though.
But when he puts it that way, like, that's an interesting way to look at it.
I mean,
isn't it?
You know, because as he started on the call, my first thought was exactly that. No.
Come on.
No. It's not the Bruins signing Bergeron. Right. No, no, no. Like, and then I thought, like, who wouldn't renew their season tickets? And then if Belichick left?
Okay.
It's not 100%. It's 90-90.
So it's fun to think of that, except if they did that, would that be the all-time weasel move of all time?
Yeah. That would be one weasel move after another down there. I mean,
come on.
Out loud.
Like, that would constitute consumer fraud, where you wait till after the season, and then Bill or Brady retires, and then the Crafts go, well, yeah, you signed it. We got your renewal. Come on. They wouldn't do that.
No. I think Belichick's here for the year. I told you. I mean, they've gotten to the point now. They're a month into this season. you know, the year, the league year. And to me, that's when the season starts. And the draft is coming up. Like, he's too far into bail now.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
You're listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha-ha-hee-hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, I have a lot of respect for Malcolm from the day he got here in rookie minicamp 4 years ago. He's always competed as hard as he could. He always was a great competitor on the field, and I totally respect that. You know, I'm not going to get into last year. I'm not going to get into next year or some other year. I talked to Malcolm. I wish him well at Tennessee, and I have a lot of respect for Malcolm, and, you know, we wish him well.
When it comes to Malcolm, I have a unique spot for him. I had hoped he would be a Patriot for all his days. The fact that we lost, and we lost the way we did, I still haven't gotten over it.
I got a giveaway coming up in a couple minutes. Start with Patriots and just continuing the discussion. A lot of these discussion points are going to be here for a long time, including the Malcolm Butler thing and trying to get answers on Malcolm Butler. Reading Greg Bedard today in the Boston Sports Journal. And oh, by the way, I have the giveaway coming up for you as well. So stay tuned for that if you want free wrestling tickets. But Bedard writes a story basically talking about what I said in the first segment, that, you know, Kraft, Belichick, and Brady, they've all talked. They've all sort of commented. They've met. But has anything really been resolved? You know, Bedard's headline, we know Kraft, Belichick, and Brady have met, dot, 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 and that's it. You know, he says, and he talks about Kraft and all the things Kraft said yesterday. To recap, things don't seem to be that stressful with Gronkowski. Kraft's not second-guessing the coach for the decision some fans feel cost him a championship, and the owner, coach, and quarterback have at least broken bread together. If you just stop there, that would seem to be good news on three important fronts heading into the 2018 season. He says, but here's my biggest question with mostly the state of the triumvirate. Why are we so short on specifics? And again, this goes into this thing that, you know, they've met, but what did they say? And they've talked, but have they resolved anything? And all these things. And so he goes into that and he keeps going. He says, now, I'm not going to any, you know, even when Greg is writing something interesting and a little juicy, he takes a shot at people who want to write or read something juicy. Because, you know, he's raised the bar on Boston Sports.
Yeah, no, he's walking on the high ground.
What's the, he's got a few good slogans up there.
No clickbait.
Well, no.
No bull, no bait.
No bull, no bait. No bull, no bait. So he doesn't believe in clickbait, which means he doesn't believe in interesting headlines.
Which means he doesn't believe in talk radio.
Which he doesn't believe in talk radio. So even when he gives us talk radio fodder, he like apologizes for it. So like, just notice this about, like, whatever he gives you.
He's a man of integrity.
Because he has. He's got good inside information. He's got good insight into this soap opera. And he gives it to you. But every time he gives it to you, he feels a little dirty. So he's got to sort of qualify it or say that you know, I'm not doing this, but here's the dirt.
See, that's why he's a good match for us, because he brings us up a little and we drag him down.
He says, now, I'm not going to launch into conspiracy theories and start yelling things like, see, everything isn't over because Kraft would have said if they were. Ah! He says, I'm not going to do that. No, he says, just like second-guessing the Butler decision, and then he goes into a long parenthetical sentence. He says, no, just like second-guessing the Butler decision, I'm not going to go overboard parsing people's words, especially those of Kraft, who can sometimes go off on tangents and not finish his first and intended thought.
True.
So this is all about, again, reading through the lines with Kraft yesterday and all of this, but he says, just like not second-guessing the Butler decision, I'm not going to da-da-da-da-da. And then in parentheses, or after dashes, he gives you this on the Butler situation. So in this whole diatribe of saying, I'm not going to speculate, I'm not going to give you conspiracy theories, no clickbait, no bull. He gives you a great piece of bull. So here's the thing that's in the parentheses, if you will. He says, until I hear otherwise, I'm going to believe Belichick. This is on Butler. Why did he bench Butler? Until I hear otherwise, I'm going to believe Belichick had his reasons, which stem from Butler's unfocused play during the season. And I've heard from a source, the Butler decision emanated from another strong defensive voice, and Belichick merely consented. And then, end parentheses, I'm not going to go overboard parsing people's words. He goes back into his thing about, I'm not going to read into things. And then he gives you that little nugget there on the Butler thing. So I've heard from a source, the Butler decision emanated from another strong defensive voice, and Belichick merely consented. Jimmy, who's your leader in the clubhouse for a strong defensive voice?
Steven Belichick.
It's first thing I thought. But I'll tell you, as you were reading it, I'm starting to wonder about someone else.
Me too.
I wonder about McCourty.
I was just going to say McCourty, or, but McCourty was really supportive and is sort of...
Yes and no, though. Do you remember McCourty said we all knew about it during the week? Like, it was evident to everybody during the week. So that felt like a little bit of a defense of Belichick, didn't it?
And then I felt that just... McCourty spoke quite a bit in the aftermath.
See, he says strong defensive voice.
Right, so he didn't say coach. He didn't say someone on the staff. He said strong defensive voice, exactly.
What about Pat Chung, who just got that undeserved extension?
Good one.
No, good one. That's
hush
one
money.
That's excellent.
Still at a year on the deal, and he gets $5.25 million?
No, there's something like, if you ever need any example of Bill, you know, Bill doesn't make it personal. Really? How does Pat Chung get $3 extra million for no reason, even though he had a year left to go, and Malcolm Butler gets sat for the whole game? Answer me that.
That's a good question.
Chung's one of his guys. Butler's not. Just deal with it. Bill makes it personal sometimes, like we all do. He's human.
My money's still on McCourty. So I just think that McCourty is
a strong defensive voice. Like Greg Easley there could have said staff. You know,
I look at McCourty as like he has a senatorial quality about him, is how I would put it. Like I just think that he, and I don't mean he's a politician. I mean he is. There's an air of dignity about him that I think very few athletes possess. And so I could see him totally saying, hey, man, you know, he's not right. You might want to stay away this week.
Okay, which is fine. I'm still okay with that initial decision. You didn't like the look in his eye. You didn't like the way he's played all year, which wasn't great. There's a lot of things not to like about Malcolm Butler this year. And it all adds up, and you say, you know what? He's not ready for this game. I'm going to sit him. Fine. Again, once you get now into the third quarter and you can't stop a backup quarterback and you're playing all these dime formations with Bademosi and guys like this out on the field and you can't adjust or see if he might be like, that's the second guess.
I mean, that's absolutely where the mistake is. Again, as Jordan Richards is getting smoked by guys going down the sideline, he's running up to the line of scrimmage. You know, to me, that is really where the more damning evidence against Belichick is. It's in the second half of that game. Like, you know, they had you running around in circles for crying out loud, and you kept those two clowns on the field, Bademosi and Richards.
Okay, so even though Bedard will turn his nose up at it, he'll tell you he doesn't do it. He'll promote it on his site that's not what we're about. He gives you nuggets from time to time.
He wants to get in the mud.
There's a point.
He does. He wants to get in the mud. Big boy wants to roll around in the mud with us. He does. He's like, what's his name? Ox and Stripes and rolling around in the mud wrestling ring.
That's great.
He wants in.
Okay, a couple quick calls here before wrestling tickets in the top of the hour. Wallace and Revere. Hi, Wallace.
Hi, guys. I think that the video you played of Coach Belichick before is actually quite telling. When he says that sometimes players stay, you know, they leave sooner than X amount of years, and sometimes they stay plus. I think that's a direct hit at Brady, like kind of like, yeah, you know, we had a plan, and then Brady just won't hang it up. What do you guys think about that?
I think that's how he feels. I must have missed that exact line because I didn't notice it, but I'll take your word for it. I mean, I think that's how he feels. I think Bill had it all lined up ready to go.
Oh, he did. Look, he had it pretty much nailed other than the fact that Tom went longer than he thought.
Okay, so Tom wouldn't play along through his play, meaning he was just too good. He was just too good for too long for you to make the transition, which Bill's just going to have to live with. And again, I'm not going to rip the team for doing that. I would have gone Garoppolo, but you can't blame the team with Brady playing the way he's playing. My aggravation now, and always will be, is the return. That was a joke. And now Brady and Giselle talking about the balance of family and the health is the only thing that you have, and now all of a sudden, after they trade the future, and Brady forces that trade, he's talking like a 41-year-old who's, you know, where the clock is ticking.
Maybe he wants more.
Oh, God.
I mean, can you imagine the irony of that? If after all of that, not only does Brady say, I'm not redoing my deal, I want more. I want 25 a year. I want, you know, and I'm just throwing numbers against the wall. And not.
I don't think that's what he wants.
I'm just saying, you know.
I don't think that's it. And, you know, we have callers say, well, you know, Brady wants this because Breeze just got that, and Brady wants this because Cousins got that. I think Brady wants Guerrero back on the plane and Bill out of his keister. And it's simply the team's coming to him because they need a favor. They need him to reduce his number for the cap and blah, blah, blah. And Brady's like, I'm not doing you any favors this year until you do something for me. I don't think it's about money. I think it's about all these other things.
I'll do you the favor when you get Guerrero back.
Or, you know, something along those lines. I mean, I think that's more important to him than an extra couple million. Tony in Worcester. Go, Tony.
Hey, yeah, I might be naive. Well, I'm definitely naive. But, as a fan of the Pats, you know, we look, as sports fans, we look at sports as a metaphor for life sometimes. You know, and it reminds us of things, you know, triumph over difficulty and, you know, getting to the end and getting to the goal and, you know, having your favorites and your
Yes, Tony, so, yes, the point?
So the point is, you know, that's the difference between Belichick and Kraft. Kraft is a human being. Belichick is something different. He's like a freaking robot out there. He's like a computer. And when he gets a virus or something rubs him the wrong way. He doesn't okay. like something about somebody. He just takes it out on him, man. It's crazy.
And I think that's what happened with Butler. Yep, I think Bill has his guys and doesn't have his guys, and they get treated accordingly. Yep, I think that's a big part of it.
I mean, it's hard to not believe that. You know, again, given the cast of characters behind Butler, he took Arrington out of the Super Bowl in 2014 and put Butler in there. And this time, his options behind Butler were worse. Right? They were worse. It was Bademosi and Richards. And he let Butler rot on the sideline.
Wasn't his guy, Mass.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.